But first, and now, and finally, our president came out and told us what he was thinking about when he decided to attack Libya. So I pulled the clip that I think really kind of says it all. Here it is.
Much of the debate in Washington has put forward a false choice when it comes to Libya. On the one hand, some question why America should intervene at all, even in limited ways, in this distant land. They argue that there are many places in the world where innocent civilians face brutal violence at the hands of their government. But that cannot be an argument for never acting on behalf of what's right. In this particular country, Libya, at this particular moment, we were faced with the prospect of violence on a horrific scale. To brush aside America's responsibility as a leader, and more profoundly, our responsibilities to our fellow human beings under such circumstances, would have been a betrayal of who we are. Some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States of America is different. And as president, I refuse to wait for the images of slaughter and mass graves before taking action.
All right. I'm not going to get into a semantic thing with the president because I think there are more important points here. But I guess at some level, this seems rational, right? When you live in an insane world, madness somehow makes sense. And last week, I said that I ultimately understood and supported the president's decision to attack Libya. And that's what it is. Let's face it. You can call it an intervention. You can call it protecting civilians. You can call it a cheese Danish. But that's what it is. It's an attack on Gaddafi. And in some measure, it's also an attack at least on some of the Libyan people because some of the Libyan people still support Gaddafi. I don't know why, but they do. That's not my business. But see, the more I think about it, the less I like this whole mess. Because now the president is talking about supporting the rebels by sending in weapons. And this week we found out that President Obama signed a presidential, quote, finding which authorizes covert operations in Libya. There it is, folks. Those dirty little words. Covert operations. Covert operations. I never like the sound of that. Do you? Which means, at the very least, that he is sending in the CIA to find out if he likes the rebels enough to send them weapons. And if he likes them, and I don't know what his criteria is, maybe if they're snappy dressers, he's going to arm them. Now, this sounds all too familiar, like Afghanistan 25 years ago, and we know where that led, right? Yes, it helped chase the Soviets out of Afghanistan, but it also gave us a highly trained, weaponized radical terrorist leader by the name of Osama bin Laden. And you and I both know that he's not going in to have tea with the Afghan rebels. He's going in to arm them. Of course he's going to arm them. Of course he's going to send in weapons. Because if he doesn't, the mission fails. And if the mission fails, he looks like a chump. And if he looks like a chump, he will not be reelected in 2012. He has to win this in Libya. He has to. He knows it. He made his bed, and now he is laying down in it. So now he's chasing a war to save face. So now he starts to look like Lyndon Johnson, right? And at that point, this is game over for me. And I guess I have to fault myself and the president for being so naive as to think that this was going to be a wham-bam war. We were going to slide through the ATM like we were buying groceries at the supermarket, as if there ever was such a thing. And so, I'm reminded that war is not the answer, right? War is the question. And if we as a country, as a world, as a species, don't start to answer that question with peaceful alternatives, we are going to keep getting the same results, and we will keep living in a world in which force is always the answer. It's like David Swanson said last week on the show, when all you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. I'm going to say that again. When you have a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. Because the real problem is, as a society, as a country, we are very well war prepared, but we are not peace prepared at all. Imagine if our foreign policy for the last 50 years was about exporting justice. Not the kind of justice that you get at the tip of a missile, but the kind of justice you get when you feed the hungry. The kind of justice you get when you alleviate poverty. The kind of justice you get when you dig fresh water wells. The kind of justice that happens when you build schools and hospitals and stimulate local economies in developing nations. I'm talking about what it means to be a truly honest broker in the world, truly interested in peace. I'm talking about the kind of justice that happens when the most powerful country isn't a duplicitous, money-driven empire that uses self-interest as a final measure for its moral and humanitarian actions in the world. Because to be truly humanitarian is to make the idea of peace the central organizing principle of your existence. And I don't care if you're an individual or a country or a planet. The central organizing principle of our existence must be peace if we want peace. That's why I like Denis Kucinich's idea of setting up a Department of Peace at the cabinet level as kind of an answer to the Joint Chiefs so that the president could peace consult and war consult and then make his decisions accordingly. This would be a tremendous evolution for our country because it means throwing away a military-based economy in favor of a peace-based economy. Can you even imagine what that looks like? What does a peace-based economy look like? What does it mean to be peace-prepared? We know what it looks like to be war-prepared. We're living it in Libya. I think it means that we have to reinvent everything that we do, not just how we resolve conflicts, but the way we cultivate food, the way we generate energy, the way we treat our planet. It's about a 180-degree turn toward an entirely new way of being that requires us to reset our priorities so that we never forget, we never lose sight of our highest potential as human beings, which, of course, is the ability to achieve peace. And so this week, I'm mad as hell at myself because I forgot my own credo that when you export justice, you import peace. So, peace, my brothers. Peace, my sisters. Peace, my troubled world.